Go ahead and take out your Bibles and turn to James chapter 2. I'm going to deal with verses 14 through 26 of James chapter 2 this morning. When you invest your money somewhere, you expect people to have a return for your money. You expect to see something from it. In recent years, there hasn't been a whole lot of return for things like CDs or savings accounts. You just don't see much happen with that. You're not able to get much interest on those kinds of things. I'm not one to follow the stock market, but I've been told through the years that there's never been a 10-year period in the stock market's history where it hasn't shown gains over the course of that 10-year period. To be honest, I don't know if that still holds true, but I'm assuming that's pretty close to the case. I've always put what I could into retirement and trusted that Guidestone, which is the financial insurance arm of our Southern Baptist Convention, would handle my retirement, that it would, they would manage it properly, wouldn't invest in things that I wouldn't want them to be investing in, and then wouldn't run off with it either. So that hopefully when I get to retirement, I have some retirement money there that'll help. We're not too many years removed from the Enron scandal when Bernie Madoff, ironically made off with people's money and kept it for himself. And really hadn't been all that long ago, there was an African-American church down in the city of Atlanta that had a gentleman come in saying that he was an investor. The pastor endorsed him. A lot of people in the church invested their money with this guy, and it was all a Ponzi scheme, and he took the money for himself. Saw a movie about a week or so ago on TV about a Ponzi scheme that a man had pulled on a lot of people. The FBI discovered, came in and arrested him, and the problem was that a lot of the people who worked in that building had invested their money with him. All these people found out suddenly that they had no retirement. They had put their retirement money in with him, and he had kept it. He had spent it on himself. He hadn't really invested it, and they lost everything they had. Well, the lead character in that movie is played by Ben Stiller, and he was so upset with what had taken place that he decided to put together this unlikely group of thieves, and they go in and try to get back the money that this man has stolen. What they found out, this gentleman had a Ferrari in his apartment, on display in his apartment. Come to find out that Ferrari was solid gold. It was painted, it looked like a normal car, but everything on it was solid gold, including the engine parts and all of that. Well, they were able to successfully steal that car, take it apart, and send pieces of gold, the engine parts, rims, whatever, send those things to people so that they could recoup their retirement money in the end. I don't suggest ever trying that. But when we trust somebody with our money, we expect them to take care of it and to make it work for us. God has entrusted us with something far greater. He's entrusted us with faith, and He expects us to actually make our faith work as well. Now, we know that we're saved by grace through faith, not of works. It's God's grace, His amazing grace, that has saved us. However, the Word of God does make it clear that we're saved unto good works. You can say that you're a Christian all day long, but the truth is our works ultimately will say whether or not we're a Christian. James speaks to this very important matter in James chapter 2, beginning in verse 14, and I'll ask you to stand in honor of the reading of God's Word. James chapter 2, beginning in verse 14. What good is it, my brothers, if someone says he has faith but doesn't have works? Can his faith save him? If a brother or sister is without clothes and lacks daily food, and one of you says to them, go in peace, keep warm, and eat well, but you don't give them what the body needs, what good is it? In the same way, faith, if it doesn't have works, is dead by itself. But someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without works and I will show you faith from my works. You believe that God is one, you do well. The demons also believe and they shudder. Foolish man, are you willing to learn that faith without works is useless? Wasn't Abraham our father justified by works when he offered Isaac his son on the altar? You see that faith was active together with his works, and by works, faith was perfected. So the scripture was fulfilled that says, Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him for righteousness, And he was called God's friend. You see that a man is justified by works and not by faith alone. And in the same way, wasn't Rahab the prostitute also justified by works when she received the messengers and sent them out by a different route? For just as the body without the spirit is dead, so also faith without works is dead. May the Lord add richly to the reading of his word. Let's go to him in prayer. Father, we thank you so much for your love, Lord. We thank you for the privilege of being able to gather in your house today. And this scripture that you inspired James to write, Lord, can be very convicting to our hearts, Lord. I pray that today our hearts and minds would be open. God, that we'd hear from you, Lord. Help us to honestly examine our lives and be sure that our work actually displays a genuine faith. God, I pray right now that I might decrease, that you might increase, that your truth would be spoken here. It's in your precious, wonderful name we pray these things. Amen. You may be seated. So we asked the question in the beginning, is my faith working? First of all, I want you to see in this text that talk is only talk. James uses some very clear illustrations here to point out that talk really doesn't do anybody any good. I can tell you that I have faith all day long, but in telling you that I have faith, just to be somewhat blunt about it, all I'm really doing is slightly warming the air around me with my breath. Because the truth is, what I do will say more about whether or not I have faith, even than what I say. We can convince ourselves that we have faith. We can convince ourselves we're people of faith. But if all we ever do is talk about it, we really only have talk. James says that if we know someone that's without clothes or food and we say, bless you, I hope God provides for you, now go and be blessed, we've shown in our actions that we really don't have faith. We don't care about them. I don't want to superimpose something on the text that it doesn't explicitly say, but part of the principle here is that we should consider in our heart if we've ever really helped anyone, if we've ever been moved with compassion to help someone. And I would dare say if we've never felt compassion to help someone, it's probably because the Holy Spirit's not in us. When God the Holy Spirit moves into our life, when we place our faith in Jesus Christ as our Savior and Lord, God the Holy Spirit comes to live within us, and God will move us to compassion for those around us that we might truly care for them. Maybe that seems harsh, but it seems clear to me that's what James is getting at in this text. Faith without action behind it is not faith at all. I can tell you all day long that I'm a man of faith, but if I don't have concern for the person in need, I'm really showing that I don't have faith at all. I love the way James goes on to say that some say, I have faith and you have works, as if the two are separate, and we're going to deal with that a little more in a minute, but James was making it clear that our faith is revealed in our works, not devoid of works. This is so strongly stated as to say that faith without works is dead faith. Now, note, James did not say that it's weak faith. He didn't say faith without works was weak faith. He didn't say it was little faith. He didn't say it was immature faith. He said it was dead faith. This is not faith that is on life support, folks. If our faith does not have works, it's not faith at all. Jesus told us what a little faith could do. And frankly, this is very convicting to me in Matthew chapter 17. You don't have enough faith, Jesus told them. I tell you the truth. If you had faith even as small as a mustard seed, you could say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it would move. Nothing would be impossible. That verse is very convicting to me because the reality is I've never been able to say to an anthill, move from here to there, much less a mountain. The truth is I know I have a lot of room to grow in my faith. It's not as great as it should be or as it could be. But again, James is not talking about small faith. He's talking about dead faith, faith that is not faith at all. Just this past week, a story came out on the news about a lady named Mary Anderson. She's a resident of Cumming, Georgia, and an LPN. She's 29 years old, and she claimed that she had ovarian cancer. She shaved her head, claiming that her hair was going to fall out anyway. She went to Northside Hospital to allegedly have a gamma knife procedure. She went to MD Anderson in Houston to allegedly have treatments. People in the community raised money for her. One restaurant owner even had a spaghetti dinner to raise money for her. Others donated money, and she was given the opportunity to do all sorts of things like skydive, go to a Braves game as a special guest, scuba dive, all sorts of things that she was checking off of her bucket list. However, she would never allow her family to go in with her to any of these treatments. And in many cases, she said, no, she wanted to drive. She wanted to go on her own. Someone became very suspicious and sent Forsyth County Sheriff's Department information about this, and they began to do some investigation and found out that the hospitals that she claimed to have been to had no record of her ever being a patient. She had put this whole thing on as a ruse. She had taken money from people, taken these special trips from people, all for her own good while nothing was wrong with her. They arrested her. She's currently out on bond. She was not what she claimed to be. I pray this would never be true of any of us as Christians when it comes to our faith. I pray there's not a superficial keep-up appearances sort of veneer that's actually covering a heart and a life that's not committed to God, that's not sold out to God. The truth is, there really isn't sort of a casual level of being a Christian. Jesus warned the church at Laodicea that he wanted either hot or cold, but not lukewarm. While you can live to some degree as a lukewarm Christian temporarily, it should be temporary. We sometimes refer to it as being backslidden. I'm not as close to God as I once was. Well, we ought not have that be the actual course of our life ongoing. It may be periods of our life when we're sort of wandering in the wilderness, but we turn back to God and experience his renewing. I know I've had periods myself when I wasn't as close to God as I should have been, and God convicted my heart and brought me back closer to him. So James tells us that talk really is only talk. Secondly, we see in this text that real faith works. Real faith works. James drives home the point that works is what reveals the genuine nature of our faith. I will show you my faith by my works. Paul says in Ephesians that we're saved unto good works, not by good works. James refers to Abraham and the reality that his works were accounted to him as righteousness. He was willing to follow God's leadership when God said, Abraham, I want you to leave here and go to a place I'll tell you about later. That took some faith. I mean, honestly, if God said to me this afternoon, Dan, I want you to go and get in your truck and head to a place I'll tell you about later, I got to admit, I'd probably balk a little bit at that. We don't see any evidence in Scripture that Abraham even balked. He just did what God said to do. He was obedient to God. But Abraham didn't stop there. Abraham waited over 90 years in his life for the promise of a son. And when God delivered that son, when he had a son, God later told Abraham to take that son and place him on the altar. And Abraham took his only son, that promised son that he'd waited for so long. Abraham, now a man into his hundreds, places that son on the altar to sacrifice him. What a powerful statement of his faith. Abraham was truly a man of faith. I can't imagine offering either of my children as a sacrifice before God. And yet I'm reminded of the fact that they're not mine. They belong to God in the first place. In a very real sense, if my faith is going to work, I have to give everything I have to God, including my children. James even says that our faith is perfected in our works. Our faith is perfected in our works. Just this week, Brooks got his driver's license, so be aware. I'm kidding. He's actually a good driver. But one of the things that he had to do to get his driver's license is he had to do this 30-hour online course where he had to sit down at the computer and go through all these things about driving, all the driving laws, and even some environmental stuff toward the end of this course. So literally spend 30 hours, and a lot of times, you know, he'd go through something, answer questions, and then they'd make him wait an hour and a half before he could move on to the next section, even though he'd already completed that section. So it was this long, drawn-out sort of affair. Well, imagine if in getting his driver's license, all he had to do was go through this 30-hour course online, and then suddenly at the end of that course, they spit out his driver's license for him and say, okay, have at it. No, that's not all it takes to get your driver's license. In that year between getting your learner's and your driver's license, they expect you to drive. They expect you to drive a certain number of hours and be able to do certain things on the road and pay attention to certain things and, if you will, master certain skills. Because when you show up, when we showed up Tuesday at the driver's license office in Blue Ridge, he had to do certain things. He had to perform certain things like parallel parking and things of that nature and then drive with them in the car with him. You see, Brooks didn't just want a certificate. He wanted to be able to drive. I'm afraid that too many of us in the church are taking our faith, if you'll bear with me here, online or in the classroom, and we aren't out driving our faith. We need to move from the discussion about it to the application of it. We need to be out behind the wheel of our faith, sharing our faith with others and demonstrating our faith before others. I want you to have a dynamic relationship with Jesus Christ. I love you and I want to see you grow in Christ. I want to grow in Christ. I want to see us help one another grow closer to Him. Our faith must work. We must show in the things that we do that our faith is real. Listen, reading my Bible every day is a step in the process, but it's a step that should lead to a destination. It's not the destination any more than Brooks wanted a certificate from a driving course online. He wanted to drive. Your faith is displayed in action, and it must flow from our study of God's Word and time and prayer with Him. I want God to grow me. I want God to grow you so that we can be what He's called us to be as a church. It's my heart that this church would have such an impact in this community that we'd be critical to the life of this community. By that I mean that we would be, the community would see us as an integral part, and a positive influence, that if our doors were to suddenly close, there would be sadness in the community and we'd be missed because we were so involved. How horrible it would be to think that we were so insignificant in our community that no one would notice if the doors closed. Now, I have to say, I think people would notice if we closed our doors, but I believe God wants us to do more. I believe God has more for us, and I believe there are more things we can do to be a part of what God wants to do through us in this community. God has put us together for His purposes and to accomplish great things for Him, things that only He could get the glory for. I honestly believe you want to be a part of something that you can't do on your own. I believe we all want to be a part of something that we need one another to do to see God get the glory. I believe that 2016 can be the greatest year ever for the kingdom of God at Pleasant Grove Baptist Church, but let's make sure we put our faith to work this year. So we need to realize that talk is only talk, and real faith works. But finally, we need to see that faith and works can't be separated. James doesn't let us walk away from this passage lightly, because in verse 26, he says something that can't be bypassed as people who claim to follow Christ. Faith without works is like a body without the spirit or without breath. The Greek word there is the word pneumatos, and it means breath or to breathe out. And the root of that word is what we get our word pneumatic from. Many of you guys especially know what pneumatic tools are, you know, tools that are driven by air. We know what that's about. Those tools don't have any power without air. The body's not alive without air, without the ability to breathe. Ask anyone that suffers from a breathing condition, from breathing issues, and they'll tell you what a horrible feeling it is not to be able to get the breath that they need. If you've ever been underwater longer than you intended to be, you've had at least something of a taste, something of an experience of what that is like. Here James is telling us that just as the body doesn't exist without oxygen, so faith doesn't exist without works. You can't separate the two and think that there's any ounce of actual life in that. We want to be able to have casual faith. We want to be able to live life without too much heartache or struggle. Most of us, and I can speak for sure for myself, I like things easy. I like it when things go smoothly. I don't like it when it's a struggle. I don't like it when things are difficult. I don't like to have my faith tested. I prefer to read the Bible and learn about God, but God has called us not to just learn about Him, but to experience Him. You see, while I learn about God through studying His Word and prayer, I can actually experience God when I walk with Him and I'm obedient to do what He leads me to do. I'm not really following God if I'm not willing to do what He says to do. I'm a body without breath if I don't do what God wants me to do. When you think about certain people, you can't help but to think about somebody who was with them. Their names are inseparable. Those people are inseparable. If I said Sonny Bono, a lot of you would think immediately Cher. Sonny and Cher. If I said, I'm going to test the age of some of you, not too far though. Well, it's been remade recently anyway, but if I said Starsky for some of you, immediately came to your mind Hutch. Starsky and Hutch, you know, the old TV show and then later made into a movie. Now I'm really going to test the age for some. If I said Laurel, Silent Hardy, yeah, see, you know who I'm talking about. I'm going to give you one more, one of my favorites from years gone by. If I say Abbott, Costello. Abbott and Costello, an inseparable group, two men who made each other better. Do we have that clip this morning? All right, excellent. I want to show you just a quick clip of one of my favorite sketches of all time that they ever did, okay? Just watch the screen.
See, we have who's on first, what's on second, I don't know who's on third.
That's what I want to find out, the guy's name. That's what I want to find out, the guy's name.
I'm telling you, who's on first, what's on second, I don't know who's on third.
Now, Abbott, you want to be the manager of the baseball team?
Yes.
You know the guy's names?
Well, I should.
Well, you tell me the guy's names on the baseball team.
I say, who's on first, what's on second, I don't know who's on third.
You ain't saying nothing to me yet. Go ahead and tell me.
I'm telling him.
You ain't said nothing yet. Go ahead and tell me.
Who's on first, what's on second, I don't know is on third.
You know the guy's names on the baseball team?
Yes.
Well, go ahead. Who's on first?
Yes.
I mean the guy's name.
Who?
The guy playing first.
Who?
The guy playing first base.
Who?
The guy on first base.
Who is on first?
What are you asking me for? I don't know.
Now, wait a minute. I'm
asking you who's on first.
That's his name.
Well, go ahead and tell me.
Who?
The guy on first.
That's it. That's his name.
Well, you ain't said nothing. I ain't asked you nothing.
You did.
You know the guy's name on first base?
Sure.
Well, tell me the guy's name on first base.
Who?
The guy playing first base.
Who is on first, Lou?
What are you asking me for?
Don't get excited. I'm saying who.
I'm asking you a simple question. Who's on first?
Yes.
Well, go ahead and tell me.
That's it.
That's who? Yeah. I'm asking you, what's the guy's name on first base?
Oh, no. What's on second?
I'm not asking you who's on second.
Who's on first?
One base at a time.
Don't mix up my...
I'm not mixing up anybody. Now, what's the guy's name on first base?
No, what is on second?
I'm not asking you who's on second.
Who is on first?
I don't know.
He's on third. We're not...
How did I get on third base?
You mentioned his name.
I mentioned his name?
Yes.
I don't know anybody's name on the team. How could I mention a guy's name?
You did. You just mentioned it.
All right. What's the guy's name on third base?
No, what's on second?
Who's on second?
Who's on first?
I don't know.
He's on first.
I didn't even mention a guy's name on third base.
Yes, you did.
All right, then. Who's playing third base?
No, who's on first?
I'm not asking you what's on first.
What's on second?
Who's on second?
Who's on first?
I don't know. He's third base.
Oh, back when humor was clean. But the truth of the matter is, some things just aren't the same without the other, and they made one another better. However, when it comes to talking about faith and works, we're not talking about two separate things. We're talking about things that have to go together. Works that result from our faith are the evidence of a genuine faith. Jesus warned about those that were giving the appearance of knowing Him, but not really living for Him. Matthew chapter 7, beginning in verse 21, it says this: Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven will enter. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name cast out demons, and in your name perform many miracles? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. You see, we've got to make sure that our actions match what we say about our faith. Our faith will result in works. It will shine through us in the things that we do. And consequently, not only is that true for us as individuals, it will be true for us as a church. If we have faith as a church, And the community around us will see that faith that displayed, that faith in action in what we do as a church. I believe you are genuine. I believe as a church you want to see God honored here, that you want to reach this community with the gospel. The vision team's met now for over a year, prayed and sought God's heart to hear from him about what God has in mind for us. I'm going to be sharing with you in the next couple of Sundays about those things that we believe God is leading us to do. As I've already said, I believe God wants to do great things through this church and wants us to be a clear presence in our community and leave an indelible mark for the kingdom of God in all that we do. We believe first and foremost that it is our mission as a church to make known the glory of God in Gilmer County and to all the nations. We want to glorify God. So we're going to deal specifically with that next week. What does it mean for us to make known the glory of God in Gilmer County and to all the nations? And I pray that we'll all have an open heart and mind to what God is leading us to do, that we'd seek him out, that we might shine his glory and literally see people's lives changed for eternity. So we see in this text that talk is only talk. Real faith works. Faith and works can't be separated. Folks, I believe we have a good church, but I believe God wants us to be a great church. I believe God wants to do so much more through the life of our church, and we can if we'll work together to bring him glory. As Christians, let's commit to walking with him every day with every ounce of our being and give everything that we can to him so that we can bring him glory. Christian, just ask God to give you the boldness to live for him and to work for him. Listen, I want to be very clear about this. When I'm talking about working for God, I'm not talking about gaining more favor from God. You already have favor from God. He sent his son to die for you. He couldn't love you more than he already does. But we work for God because we love him, because we appreciate what he's done for us, because we're grateful for our forgiveness and eternal life. If you're here today and you realize you've never placed your faith in Christ, you've never found and experienced that forgiveness, I want to say to you, all you need to do today is ask God's forgiveness. Place your faith in him. He will forgive you and give you eternal life. Don't miss this opportunity right now. Let's go to him in prayer. Father, we thank you for your love. We thank you that you left heaven and came to earth for us. We don't understand why you would think that we would be worthy of that, but you gave everything so that we could have everything. Lord, I pray that we would honestly examine ourselves right now as Christians to make sure that we're working to bring you glory. God, help us as a church to desire nothing more and nothing less than to work to bring you glory. God, forgive us of those times when we choose to do our own thing and go our own way. But God, unite our hearts before you that we as a church might glorify you. Lord, for anyone here today who doesn't yet know you, God, I pray right now your Holy Spirit would speak to their heart. Help them to see their need right now to ask your forgiveness. Place their faith in you. And then in just a moment, God, when we begin the invitation, I pray they'd have the courage to step out of that pew and come share with me the decision that they've made so that we might rejoice with them as a church. God, there are others here who are hurting, others here who are dealing with various needs. We just ask you to wrap your arms around them right now. Care for their need. Meet them exactly where they are right now. God, we give you the glory and ask you to have your way in this place. It's in your precious name we pray. Amen.